soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today's August 11, 2011. I'm going to read a scripture from the prophet Isaiah 33. And I believe this scripture very much relates to the day we're in. A very important political day and a very spiritual day. What's going on both in the political, governmental world as well as the spiritual world. And the most important thing is the exalted greatness of the living God, the one true God that created us all, and his son, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. And he's coming back soon, but he's going to deal with all disobedience, all rebellion. And this is the time to call upon the Lord in true sincerity and humbleness and brokenness before the Lord. If you do that, it'll be well with you. But if not, whoa. This is from Isaiah chapter 33. Woe to you that spoiled, and you were not spoiled, and you dealt treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with you. When you shall cease to spoil, you shall be spoiled yourself. And when you shall make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with you. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We've waited for you. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of yourself, the nations were scattered. And your spoils shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry outside. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceases. He has broken the covenant. He has despised the cities. He regards no man. The earth mourns and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like wilderness. Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now will I arise, says the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where we're at right now, is the lordship of the living God. He's been so kind, tender, slow to wrath. But now is the time of judgment. Now is the time where these days are running out, and it is time to get right with the Lord. The Lord continues in Isaiah 33, verse 11, you shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burnings of time, and thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off, what have I done? And you that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be in the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is afar off. This is an amazing text, and I have on the line Cody Stromberg, a man of God who's seeking the Lord, is a worshiper of the Lord, and he's hearing from the Lord. And I want us, Cody, to talk about these things, what we're reading here, and what the Lord's telling us and about these days we live in. Is that amazing text, Cody, I just read from Isaiah 33?
Things you're talking about, Trevor. Very serious stuff. Very heavy and very serious. I don't look forward to these days. You know, I don't look forward to going through what we're going through. I said to a friend the other day, I said, I think America is going through the not old backwards.
Yeah.
And it's not pleasant. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. For the people that love the Lord to see it happening is not pleasant. And for the people that have been in rebellion against God to be going through some of these things, that's just, you know, the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I pray for mercy on our nation. I pray for mercy on all of us, because it's a fearful and terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And, you know, vengeance does belong to God, but we just ask for His mercy because, you know, what do you say? I am the Lord, I change it not. That's why you Israelites are not consumed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's by His grace that we remain. And I pray that our hearts are established, and for the days ahead, I hope that we stand and we don't fall away when the great falling away comes. I hope we're not deceived when the false prophets and false Christs arise. You know, I hope that this is already happening, but I mean, I pray that our faith fails not, and that we stand and our hearts are established. But the only thing I really feel like sharing, Trevor, is I've been thinking this week about people I grew up with, that their futures look sound and solid, and you know, that some of them have very wealthy parents, and kind of gave them everything they needed and set them up with everything they needed to be successful, and they just kind of rebelled from it and said no and went their own way and came to great destruction. And I you know, when I was young, I thought those people had it made and that they would be very successful because of who they were and, you know, their financial background, the kind of education they were getting and everything. And as I've grown older, as I've lived a little while, I've seen that a lot of those people didn't come to good ends. They kind of went through the knothole backwards, like America's going right now. And for a while there, I had this kind of superior feeling, like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like those. You know, they had all this, they prospered so much, and, you know, they threw it all away. But I was sitting there thinking, you know, my Father in heaven is richer than any father on earth. And
yes,
He's given me more treasures and more blessings, more power, more opportunity to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and preach the gospel. And He's given that freely to every man and woman that would believe on Him and receive that. And yet, what have I done with what He's given me? Have I said no thanks and gone my own way? And am I suffering the judgments for that? I think all of us, to a greater or lesser degree, are lacking in fulfilling the call of God on our lives. Because, I mean, we're not all like Paul or Peter out there, you know, preaching the gospel furiously and faithfully and day and night, you know, just standing up against the enemy's attack and preaching the word. I think I've had a fairly Laodicean and kind of walk with the Lord, even though I was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm an artist, and I'm like, well, they don't receive my word here at this church, or they don't receive me here at that church, or they don't, you know, they're not preaching the word here or there. And I wandered from place to place because they weren't preaching what the Lord was saying, and they wouldn't receive what the Lord had to say. And I felt like that was some kind of excuse for me to be kind of on the back burner, waiting for them to come around and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's the proper attitude. I think we need to be on fire for the Lord, and He doesn't let us off the hook just because the people reject the word, and just because that we're not welcome in, you know, in a lot of circles or in a lot of churches because they're not preaching that word, they're preaching a different message. And I don't think we're off the hook, and we have to. I agree with you what you were saying earlier about bearing fruit. We need to bear fruit. We need to be on fire, and we need to be, you know, salt and light. And I feel like I've kind of failed in that. my Father is so rich, and He blessed me with so much power and grace of the Holy Spirit, salvation in Christ. And what have I done with that? I mean, here we are, America's fallen. And I've been getting this message of the judgment coming on America since 1999 or 2000. And, you know, it's been pounding away at me for years. And here it is, 2011. And I haven't been able to get anything done. I mean, I've spoken about it and talked to people about it, but most of the churches didn't want to hear it. And a lot of people just don't receive that word of judgment. They're like, well, we don't receive that. You know, or, it's impossible. No judgment's coming on this land. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. Don't say that. You don't understand the Bible. Or, you know, a variety of different answers people have given me for why these things that have happened couldn't happen, and now they've all come to pass, and woe unto us, but we are undone. And I just really wish that, I really wish it wasn't so. I still pray that the Lord would have mercy on us and save our nation, because perhaps, you know, perhaps He can still turn it around, but I don't know what to tell you, Trevor. I love the Lord, and I don't want to fail Him, but I really feel like I failed Him. I didn't take it serious enough or fast enough or pray. I don't know, but I mean, I wish that we were, or I wish that I was more salt and light. And anybody hears this, just pray that I would be more obedient to the Lord and serve Him better. Because I just really don't think we're getting anything done here as far as turning this nation around.
Well,
and I wish we were.
You know, Cody, I thank God what you're saying, because if you were here today telling me, you know, I thank God that I'm doing everything I can and I'm saying everything I'm supposed to say, I would think there'd be something wrong with you. But when we realize, Lord, I present myself to you. I want to be used by you. I yield to you. And I believe that timing is the issue, that there's such a time as this that God is calling us to rise and shine. Yes, this is the time of the end of the age. This is the time of the fulfillment of the Word of God, and God is calling us by His Spirit to make ourselves prepared for use of the Master. Okay? And this is why you have this conviction within you. It's on a daily basis from the rising of the sun. You're saying, God has prepared you to be a vessel of honor. And God is calling the people that are listening to this broadcast today, this is the time to rise and shine in the name of Jesus Christ. There's great darkness coming and gross darkness upon the people, but the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon His people and will be seen upon you, and you will open your mouth and you will declare the words of God. And those that will humble themselves and have faith in the gospel, God is merciful and gracious to forgive. And that's where we're at, Cody.
Amen, because God, you know, we might have squandered what God's given us, but He is so rich, there's no lack in Him.
That's right.
And we need, He's got all the provision we need for these troubled times, but, you know, when I look in the physical, I see so many people that were, their parents gave them everything they needed to be successful, and they rejected it, and they went and they found some other way, which has really brought them a lot of distress and grief and sadness, and I feel like that we have done that, and here we are. You know, it's like we didn't go the way that God wanted us to. We didn't take Him up with all the things He had prepared for us, all the blessings He had for us. We chose this other way, and now we're out there having to deal with what we've chosen and have to live through what we've brought down on our own heads. And It's really sad. And anyway, I want to encourage people out there to trust in the Lord.
Absolutely.
Return to Him like the prodigal son returned to the father, and know that He still has provision for you, and He still has a way of escape for you if you'll just call upon Him and seek Him. He can bring you through this, but it's going to be a very difficult time for all of us. It said, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. It didn't say the elect would be deceived, but it said if it were possible, they would be deceived. So That means even people that really have it all together, it's going to be hard for them not to be deceived in this time. So, anyway, just continue, Trevor. Well, I've said enough. God bless you.
Cody, these times are really, this is what the Spirit of the Lord has been showing me just this week, that the end is not yet. There are great, great evil things that will transpire in the earth, and God's going to allow it. But God's going to keep his people in the shadow of his wings, in the covert of his, in the hidden place with the Lord. And that's why I say, don't be discouraged, but this is the time to rise and shine. And the Lord was showing me that this is the time to be strong in your faith. Strong in your knowledge of the Lord. Strong in the power of the Lord. And
it says establish your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we need to establish our hearts.
And you're not going to be budged by the raging of the sea and by the winds that are tossing people fro here and there, and by every wind of doctrine, by cunning sleight of men that are waiting, lying in wait to deceive people. But this is the time to be very, very committed, devoted from your heart to the fear of the Lord. And this is the time to be, like Cody's saying, that desire to be yielded to the Lord. You want to be where God wants you. You want to be doing what he wants you to do. You want to be speaking what he wants you to speak. Because these are the last days. Now, I want to read a scripture, Cody, from Luke 12, verse 22. This is what Jesus said. He said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Which of you have taken thought can add to a stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Cody, find rest in these words, everybody. These are the words of Jesus. And we've been so self-centered. We've been so trusting in our job. That's why God had to have people be fired. That's why companies had to fail. People trusted their abilities. People trusted their government. People trusted all these vain things. But it's time to put our faith in the Lord. If he takes care of the birds, he takes care of the fowls, he will take care of us. And Cody, we have to absolutely trust the Lord.
Amen. James said a double-minded man, you know, he can't expect to receive anything. No matter how much he prays, he won't receive anything. And we don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be, red-hot or white-hot, on fire for God, with our hearts established and our minds made up that, like they said to that king, O king, we don't know whether we'll live or die, but one thing we do know, we won't bow down and serve your idol.
That's right.
And in the fiery furnace, not knowing whether they'd live or die, they just knew they were going to serve the Lord no matter what. And that's the kind of resolve you have to have, because in Revelation, doesn't it say that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and not being afraid to lay down their lives for the Lord?
That's right.
You just really have to settle in your mind that you're committed, that you believe, that you're all in, that you're 100% for God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, and almost act like a crazy person and praise him right in the middle of the storm, and praise him right in the middle of the tornadoes, and praise him right in the middle of the earthquakes and volcanoes and whatever may come. Pray for the people, comfort the people, be a shepherd, not a hireling. Don't run away at this time. If you're a hireling, go ahead and run away. We don't need you anyhow. But if you're a shepherd, get your provisions in your sack and get to your post and stand firm and stay the course with resolve and protect the flock and feed the flock in this dark time. And don't play games with God. So, yeah, we're really going to have to draw on that anointing. We're going to have to draw on the power of God and everything he's given us. His supply is endless. He's rich. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills. You know, he has no shortage in his supply. But we're going to have to not be double-minded, and we're really going to have to get in close with God and stay there humbly and meekly and just walk with him and leave all the rest up to the Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And trust in the greatness of God. I love this from this text of Isaiah 33. The Lord is exalted. He dwells on high. I mean, God dwells in light that no man can approach. I mean, the heavens cannot contain God. He's so magnificent and glory and beautiful. And the angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And it says in verse 6 of Isaiah 33, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times." This wisdom and this knowledge comes from the Lord. Draw on the Lord like a tree planted by the waters. It'll be the strength of your salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. And there's such a contrast here between the righteous and the wicked in this chapter. The wicked, the thieves, the proud, the arrogant shall be completely defeated if they do not call upon the Lord and repent and be broken before the Lord. Otherwise, the rock will fall upon them and grind them to powder. This is what Jesus has said.
Amen. They stumbled over the stumbling stone.
Yes. So delight in the Lord. This is what we encourage you. And don't be like Lot's wife. Jesus warned about this, about the last days. He says, remember Lot's wife. You know, when God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was a righteous man. He was grieved. I mean, he was really bothered by the wickedness of that land. He vexes righteous soul from day to day. See, there needs to be a distinction. Don't become complacent. Don't become tolerant and compromising with our wicked world today, especially with this nation, the United States. You should be bothered. You should be grieved over the sins of this nation and over the sins of the world, because it's offensive to God. But Lot's wife, she was grieved because God judged that land. She was grieved because her temporal things were destroyed. She was more concerned about that, Cody, than God's offense with the wickedness, that God had to go to that extreme to hurl fire and brimstone and destroy it.
Right.
But God had to do it. Had to do it. He's a gardener, and he realizes that these weeds and these terrors of wickedness will just grow and fill the earth. God has to eradicate the evil, and this is why when you can call upon the Lord and forsake your sins and be cleansed and washed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit, that's by faith in Jesus, this offer goes out to the world today, the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But if people refuse, if they love their darkness rather than light, then they are condemned. And that's in the word of God in John chapter 3. The condemnation is already for those that do not believe. But God didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But the condemnation is if you refuse to have faith.
Well, I'm down here in Texas, and it's been 112, 115 degrees at 8 o'clock at night for 20-something days, maybe 30 or so days. I don't know how many days it's been. And today we're getting rain, finally. Everything's dried up. The trees are dying. Everything was dying. And to get this rain, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really enjoying the mercy of God that he sent rain and brought life back to this dry and dying place. And so I rejoice. rejoice in God's mercy, His judgment. Who can bear up under them? You know, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Yes.
And so I know He's bringing His judgments on the land, and we've done it to ourselves. This is something we've brought down on ourselves, but I also rejoice in His mercy. I pray that, you know, more people would repent and call on Him, and that we would receive more of mercy, because, to be honest, in the last days here, the judgments, if we're going to see mountains melting, and they're going to say men's hearts will be failing them for fear.
Yes, for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth.
Yeah, I mean, some of these things that are coming, that are starting to happen, and the things that are happening, it's just, you know, that's why we have to establish our hearts in the final certainty, as it says in James, because the guys that don't have their hearts established, their hearts are going to fail them for fear. And we really, you know, but I know that there's going to be more of this stuff. We're going to see more disasters coming in waves, but I do thank the Lord for His mercy, and I pray that His people would be His, and that He'd hide them. Oh, what was that verse in Zephaniah? Be humble and meek. It may be that
you'll
give His wrath.
But the Lord was saying to seek the Lord, to seek righteousness and meekness, that it may be that you may be hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
Yeah. Amen. That's a beautiful verse.
It is.
The verse He's been given me, and I'm holding on to that. I'm like, I don't know where this is going, Lord, but, you know, help me to stay humble and meek and close to You. And, you know, we serve an awesome God, and it's a good God. He's a good God, and He's a just God. And
He's wonderful.
You know, these kids that I knew from high school and stuff that had wealthy parents and everything, they had great parents. They really had good fathers and mothers, and the money that they gave those kids and the opportunities that they provided them with, I mean, they were very, but the kids just said, no, we don't want this. We're going to do this other thing. They went through some terrible things because they rejected or they squandered the blessing of their fathers. And that's what we've done as a nation. We've just rejected and squandered the blessing of the Father of Fathers, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we're really paying for it. We need to return to the Father. And we need to say, Lord, forgive us and have mercy on us. Because it's hard to, once you've lost something and squandered it, destroyed it, and you have nothing, it's hard to get it back, you know?
Yes.
Very hard. And it said Esau, didn't he weep with bitter tears? He was never able to reclaim the inheritance that he'd lost. And when they built that second temple, you know, the young people were rejoicing, but the old people that remember the first temple, they were weeping. You know, remember this house in its former glory. You know. So I pray for America. I pray for the whole world that we would not squander the gifts of the Father and not reject the Father, not be deluded and not be deceived. But this is a time when, I mean, false prophets, false Christ, they're coming at you from every side, and along with natural disasters and calamities. And it's a wild time to be alive, and it's also an exciting time because it's just Christ is coming back. Look up, and your redemption draws nigh. What is that verse, Trevor?
It says rejoice. Yes, when you see these things coming to pass, that, you know, Jesus clearly outlined these things in Matthew 24, Luke chapter 17 and chapter 21, Mark 13, just gives such a picture of the last days, the time preceding the second coming. And Jesus said, when you see these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. And see, that's such an opposite spirit from Lot's wife. Yeah, she was grieved. She loved, you know, she was more concerned about the gold, the silver, the pottery, the inheritance of the earth, of the flesh, you know, her family, her relationships, the family, the society, the culture. But Lot, what a godly man, and that's what we need to be, is praise You, Lord, because He's a righteous God. He's not going to let wrong continue. He's going to right the wrong. He's going to deal with it. He's a righteous father, and this is why we need to be understanding and be like those that are in the book of Revelation. It talks about the holy apostles, prophets, that were rejoicing and saying glory to the Lord for his righteous judgments in the earth. You know, Cody, in Luke chapter 3, there's a good portion here about John the Baptist, a forerunner to Jesus. He ministered in the spirit of Elijah, and he was preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. And this is very similar to the time we're in right now. There's a political world with Caesar is mentioned here, Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, Herod. And it also talks about Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest of the spiritual world. And it was a great apostasy in that day, because when Jesus did come speaking the words of the Father, they didn't receive it. They didn't receive him. They sought a way to murder him. And the same is true today. We have a very strong political world that's governed in a very similar way of Caesar of Rome. And we have a spiritual leadership, spiritual world that's merging with the government in this rebellion against the Lord. But we have the Spirit of the Lord speaking like he was in John the Baptist. And this is what it says in Luke 3, verse 4. It says, written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. A great reversal, Cody. We're going to see God come forth like we've never seen before. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. You see that, Cody?
Yeah.
The same words going forth today. God's looking for authentic faith, repentance in his Son. That's how you're going to be hidden in the day of this great power of God bringing judgment in the earth and his salvation.
He's winnowing fan in his hand, and he's going to thoroughly clean his threshing floor, put the grain in his garner, and the chaff will burn up with unquenchable fire.
Yes. And in verse 9, it says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Yeah.
Time's running out, Cody.
Hoping to do is be fruitful.
Yes.
Hoping to be fruitful.
Yes.
My wife says, don't say you're hoping. Stand in faith. Don't say hope. But this is the hope that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Yes.
In the Lord. My hope is in Christ. All right, well.
Thank you, Cody.